open the meeting with hymn number 10. Excuse me, hymn number 7. Hymn number 7. Somebody raise that.
God love the world of sinners lost and
give thanks that you're looking down on this crowd here tonight and you love each one of us. We especially think of any here that don't know you, that are strangers, that are in the dark. And we pray, our God and our Father, that they would be brought into the light tonight, that they would come in simple faith, put their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. Help us to magnify him as we open the scriptures, use the word to touch our hearts. Give us to be able to tell out a little bit of that good news. That there would be blessing here tonight. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I wish it was full of kids up here, but it's not. God loves you. God is interested to bring you into relationship with himself. The last two nights, we have had the gospel preached here. Thank you, Landon. We've had the gospel preached here to show us that the door is open, and what's inside the door, and also to tell us that if you don't go through the door, there's going to be serious consequences. And so what we're speaking of tonight, thank you, what we're speaking of tonight is a message of hope for all of us. Those brothers opened up the door, I would say, and my burden here tonight is to encourage you, if you haven't yet, to step through that door. It's not a hard thing to do, because God loves you. He's not asking you to do something that's beyond what you can do. Let's open the scriptures to John chapter 1. I want to use this passage as kind of an outline for myself so that hopefully I can keep some thoughts going in a straight line. John chapter 1 in verse 1. And what I hope to do is to read the first 18 verses. And we'll, I think, maybe stop and start as we go along. John chapter 1, and we'll start with the first 5 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. God wants to bless you. We're lost when we come into this world. We're away from God, and we don't have a relationship with Him as our Father. He's our Creator God. All things were made by Him. So God wants to communicate to us, and so it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now I read down in verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so that means to me that the Lord Jesus, that holy man that came to this world, He's the Word. He's eternal. He's God become a man. God become a man so that He could tell us of God's love. Not only tell us, but He could show it. He could bring it to us. All things were made by Him. That's one thing that God is asking us to believe, that He's the Creator. Over in Hebrews 11, I want to read one verse there. Verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God spoke, and this world and all in it came to be. God's asking us to believe that. Now, one of the things that I want to speak about tonight is belief, because this chapter is pretty heavy with that thought of belief. And there's two ways in which we can believe. We can believe like when we go to school and the teacher says 2 + 2 = 4. We can figure that out, and yeah, we believe that. And it'll do us good to believe that. But the belief that we have here is that belief of trusting, that belief of like stepping on a bridge that's got a lot of space below it, we have to believe that that bridge is going to hold us up or we won't step on it. And so God wants us to trust Him that way. I heard a gospel meeting by Ernie Monk Jr. a while back, and it really impressed me. He said another thing: God wants to be believed. And so if you believe Him, you believe what He says, right? And so that's my hope tonight, that we'll bring something from the Scriptures that you can take a hold of and say, God said that, I believe it. I believe Him. So I'm going to just go on over to verse 10. We'll skip a little bit there. I'll read verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. That is the Word, the Lord Jesus. He came into this world. People knew who He was, that He was Jesus, but they really didn't know Him. Because we're in the dark. When we come into this world, we're sinners and we're estranged from God. That means we don't know Him. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. It says one place about His own family, it says, neither did His brethren believe in Him. But He came to His own people, the Jews, and they said, we don't want Him. And they wouldn't receive Him. But the next verses here is what I really have on my heart especially, and that is, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So God wants you and He wants me to be in His family. He wants us to be a son of God. And it says right here that we need to receive Him to get that right, to become a son of God. I'm going to restart over on that verse. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so there's two things there. One is to receive, and one is to believe. I don't think they're in any way opposed to each other. If you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you believe in Him. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive Him. He's yours. And God wants you to have Him as your own Savior. That's why the Word, who is eternal, came into this world, so that we could have a real Savior. He wasn't just a regular man, a man that could fail. This is God become a man. He's perfect. He cannot fail. And therefore, if you put your trust in Him, He can't let you down. He will not let you down, but He couldn't even do it because of who He is. He can't let you down. So it goes on in verse 13. Which were born not of blood. Let's stop there. You don't become a child of God because you are born to Christian parents. Your mom and your dad, many of you, are believers in the Lord Jesus. and you descend from them, but you don't get to heaven. You don't get into God's family by being born into a Christian home. Wouldn't that be sad if that was the way? There'd be a whole lot of people that couldn't come. God's not going to have it that way. He's going to have it so that anybody can come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. That is, I think it means you can't work your way there. You can't, because you're maybe better than some people, get there and say, well, I'm better than somebody else. No. The will of the flesh isn't going to do it. Nor of the will of man. And I'm thinking now, I don't know if this is the whole thought, but I'm thinking of your parents. If you're a child here and you're not saved, there's somebody that would do anything so that you would become a child of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the way either. They have paved the way, many of them, I'm sure, by telling you about the Lord Jesus, especially your mothers. A lot of time with your mother, haven't you? You spent a lot of time with her. And I'm sure she's told you about the Lord Jesus. Not of those three things, but of God. It's God's idea, and he's going to put it into action, and he's inviting you to come. He's inviting you, and it's as simple as stepping through the door. Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to tell you three stories right now of people who received the Lord Jesus. I'm going to start out with a story of a man named Clarence. I heard this story yesterday from Brother Bill Brockmeyer, and I asked him today to refresh it in my mind so that I could hopefully tell it to you pretty straight. This man named Clarence was getting up in years. He was an older man. And his wife was a believer in the Lord Jesus, but he was not. He was a doubter. He thought about the story of Noah, Jonah, and the whale. Sorry, Jonah and the whale. And he couldn't swallow that. And I don't mean to be funny. Sorry. He couldn't believe it. He would not accept it. He didn't see how that could be true. And maybe there were other things like that, that were, you know, a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand. I don't understand how Jonah was there for 3 days and how he survived all that. I don't understand. But this story, it's got a really good end. He would object. People would share the gospel with him. He would object, and he just didn't come. His whole family were believers in the Lord Jesus, all but him. And one day, his daughter said, Dad, it's not about understanding. You just have to receive it by faith. You have to believe God. And he said, the light went on. The light went on. And he stepped through the door. And he said later, I wished I had come a lot sooner. Because it made him happy. It gave him peace. And I don't know about you, but if you don't know where you're going, I'm talking about me. When I didn't know where I was going, I didn't have peace. I was sitting in gospel meetings like this, and I was nervous. And I was jumping around, especially, I remember a brother, Charles Whitaker. He would really, you know, like I've accidentally got real close to the mic, and it goes boom. Well, he did it on purpose, I think. And it would, the things he was telling me really upset me because I didn't know where I was going. But God wants us to know where we're going. He loves us. It's not that God's unwilling at all. He's on your side. He wants to bless you. Well, that was Clarence. You know, after the light went on and he yielded himself to the Lord Jesus, I think if you would ask him about Jonah and the whale, he would say, well, that's really not a problem anymore. Because I believe in God, and God can manage those things. I don't have to understand. You know, over here in, I'm going to read verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, that's he's talking to Philip, I think, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. That's the order. Come and see. So, Clarence came, and no doubt he could see. You know, as I said at the first, when we're born into this world, we're in the dark. We don't have a relationship with God. We don't know him. But when we come to him, then we can see. I know some people that want everything to be explained so that they can come. I think I was a little like that. But you got to come first. You've got to believe God. Another story I heard was shared to me years ago by Brother Lemoyne Smith, who some of us know here. And this story happened on a train car, a passenger train. And there was a man that was a religious man, and he wore a special garments that had the, I don't know exactly how it is, but the collar's different than everybody else's collar. And it signified that he was a preacher. And he was sitting in this car, and then another man came into the compartment in the car, and they were either side by side or facing each other, I don't know. And he was a simple believer in the Lord Jesus. Well, they got to talking about the Bible. And this simple believer in the Lord Jesus realized that this man really didn't know where he was going when he would leave this world. He was unsure. In fact, he didn't think it was right to be able to say that you knew where you were going when you left this world. Well, let's turn over to Romans chapter 10, because it has to do with our story. So let's read in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So this man who is a believer in the Lord Jesus, he wanted to help this other man so that he could have confidence as he lived his life to know where he was going when he left this world. And so he said to him, let's open our Bibles. And they turned to this verse. And he says, I'm going to confess to you that Jesus is my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. And then he asked the other man, the man that was a preacher, he said, am I saved? And that man was taught probably all his life that you couldn't say you were saved until you got to heaven. And he put his head down and he just didn't know what to answer for a while. And then he raised his head and he said, pay attention to this. He said, God says so. God says so. So what does that mean? Well, so then the believer, he said to him, can you say that? And so he said, I do believe. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe that God has raised him from the dead. And so the man said to him again, are you saved? And again he put his head down. He wasn't prepared to say an answer to that. And he struggled. And he raised his head and he said, God says so. God says so. And so what we need to do is believe God. And we're believing somebody that can't lie. We're believing somebody that we can be sure. You know, I can say I've probably made 10 mistakes already in what I've said up here. But God doesn't make mistakes. You can believe him. You can trust him. So that's two people that stepped through the door. They came in time. The Bible says, come now. Do little children ever get hurt and die? I've known some. And so the Bible says, come now. Is your soul going to end up in heaven with the Lord Jesus? Are you going to end up in heaven with the Lord Jesus? You won't if you haven't believed and if you haven't received him. Okay, the last story. This story I read in a gospel tract a long time ago. And there was a young lady that went to a gospel meeting. She wasn't saved. She had resisted coming to the Lord Jesus. And she got home and God was speaking to her. He was causing her to be upset inside that she wasn't right with him, that she was headed the wrong way. And she knew what she had to do. She needed to get down on her knees right there by her bed and talk to God. She was sitting on the edge of her bed and she struggled. She couldn't get down off the bed onto the floor. Who do you think was trying to keep her from doing it? I suppose it was the devil. She got down finally on one knee. But in her mind, she had to have both knees on the floor to pray properly. And she couldn't get the other knee down. It just wouldn't go. And she was getting more serious. Something's got to happen here. I need to get saved. And so she took her hands on her knee and she shoved it down onto the floor. And she said, "The peace that flooded my soul when that knee hit the floor." You see, she believed, she received the Lord Jesus. Her will and Satan were holding her back, saying, "Don't take that step through that door." But she did. And you can too. And God wants you to. Besides mom and dad. So, I said we'd read the first 18 verses. So let's continue on. John 1 and now we'll go to verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So God loves you. But God is holy. He loves you. He sent His Son that we were reading about before, the Word. But the Lord Jesus couldn't just come into this world and be a good man and teach us that God loved us and everything would be all right. No, He had to come according to God's holiness and also according to our need. And the only way He could satisfy those things was to give Himself for you and for me. And He did it. He died there. He shed His blood. And that's the blood that can wash our sins away. That's the blood that when we believe on Him makes us fit for God's presence. He not only died, but he was raised again. And He's in heaven. And right now, He's aware of you in this room. He's aware if you have received and believed in Him right now or not. And He wants you to come. He wants you to just step through that door and to say yes to Him. Let's just go ahead and finish up, and then we'll be done. They gave me permission to not go the 45 if it was okay. And they said it was okay. Verse 15. "John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." Now let's just think about that. John was 6 months old when Jesus was born. Who was older? John. But he says here, he was before me. In the beginning was the Word. That's the Son of God, eternal. He had no beginning, and of course he was before John. Verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That goes back to that, what we were talking about, the will of the flesh. The law, the Ten Commandments, will say, holy and good. But we're not. If God was to say to us, you keep the law, and then you can get into my heaven, none of us would ever get there. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ because he's the Savior. He's the one that came to fill God's house, to bring children to God, the children that God wants. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And so the Lord Jesus, you look at him and you know, if you know him, you know God. He is the one who came and declared what God is like. And God is good. God loves you. He's holy. He can't have sin in his presence. So you need your sins washed away. Jesus came to shed his blood so that your sins could be washed away, so that you could be made fit for God's heaven, the Father's house. And God is asking you to receive his Son. And I'm asking you, have you done it? Have you stepped through the door? Let's close with hymn number 10. Somebody could start that.
There is a
pray. Our God and our Father, we give thanks once again for the Holy Scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation, by which we can be born again. And we pray, our God, that there might be some act of living faith in some heart here tonight, that they might come to know Him who to know Him is life eternal. Our God and our Father, we pray that the prayers of many parents would be answered before it's too late. We give thanks that we can hear good news. And we pray, our Father, if there's been things said that are not right, they'd be forgotten, and that people would deal with what is from your word. We give thanks for this opportunity. Pray your blessing, your care over us as we go from here. And we pray it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Special thanks to you kids for coming up and helping me out.